uncovering the interconnectedness of our emotions, mind, body, and spirit. This podcast is dedicated to individuals who are on a quest to uncover their truth, understand their genetic and spiritual DNA, and learning how to harness this knowledge to achieve optimal health. But this isn't just another health podcast. Natural Podcast is here to ignite a spark of hope within you, reminding you of your inner potential for greatness, your pure love capable of living life to its fullest expression. Are you ready to embark on a transformational journey to achieve optimal health? In today's episode, we have Victor, a lifelong New York and certified holistic health coach and a health and wellness nutritionist health expert. He's the author of the book called How to Be Healthy, Happy, and Whole. His passion is helping people lead a healthier lifestyle and avoiding chronic diseases. His passions are he loves to sing karaoke, he's a big NBA basketball fan, and he's a lifelong Beatles fan. Welcome to Natural Podcast, Victor.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Amazing. So tell us about the NBA basketball fan. You've always loved basketball since you were little.
I used to play basketball for many years. I've been following basketball all my life. I know all the basketball players growing up. I watched, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, all those guys, Patrick Ewing. So, and I continue to follow it. I really don't play basketball anymore, but I still follow it. It's my favorite sport to watch. I never get enough of it.
Yeah, what's the drive behind that? Why is it one of your favorites? Because there's so many sports to choose from. Like before, we're talking about tennis and we're talking about other sports. Why basketball?
Well, I first grew up playing baseball, but then when I started playing basketball, it's just such fast-paced action. It's really exciting to play. So you go back and forth. And for me, of all the sports to watch, which I love the fast action watching basketball. So I like watching a bunch of other sports, but to me, it's just watching the action, just also knowing I used to play that game. So, when I see these guys hit these shots, I'm like, I know how hard it is to do some of the things they do, because some of the things they do, I was able to do a lot of them, but not everything. So I'm impressed because I know it takes a lot of work to be that good.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Yeah, they just go fast paced from one side of the court to the other side of the court, and it's like your brain's just going, whoa, whoa, whoa. But I hear that you are excited about the Australian tennis coming on soon.
No, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of great. It's up in the air right now because there's a lot of guys that can win. It could be Djokovic, it could be Alcaraz, it could be Sinner. They're all very good. I mean, these young guys are looking really good. So like all the old timers will be like Nadal is gone now, Federer's gone, Djokovic probably in another couple of years he'll be retiring. So they've been incredible the last 17, 18 years. So but these young guys, Sinner, Alcaraz also look really good. So it should be interesting. We'll be the old guard or the new guard. So it's exciting because I think there are like three or four or five guys who could win it. So
and I know the women side.
Absolutely. And the women's side, they also have some really good players as well. So it's also up in the air. But it's not like, 4 or 5 years ago, Serena Williams winning it all. Now it's like there's a lot of good tennis. There's a lot of good players who can win it now. So I'm really excited.
I love it. I love the excitement. I'm excited to have you on the podcast today. But, before we get started and talk a little bit about things, let's hear a little bit about you. What's your backstory? What got you to where you are here today? Give us a little bit of a rundown, Victor.
All right, so I grew up in New York. I've lived there all my life. I was in the corporate world actually for many years. And probably close to almost 20 years ago, I just started reading up on health and wellness. And I realized there was a lot of information that I did not know. I started reading in a couple of books. I realized the importance of organic foods and how it can help improve your life. And I realized that there's a lot of dangers to taking too many pharmaceutical drugs. There's a lot of bad side effects. And we just told this is going to make your lives better. Not necessarily. So I started to realize, we haven't been told the whole story. So it got me on a journey of learning more about health and wellness. I started doing more research, going on the internet, started reading more books. And then over the course of these years, I just, learned more and more, focused more on my health. And as I did, I realized things got better for my health. Like one thing for health is, if you don't take care of health, for example, if you're vitamin and mineral deficient, you're going to have a lot of problems. Like I used to have a lot of pain in my teeth. I had root canals, cavities. Ever since I took care of my nutrition and my health, I've had no problems the last 16 years. Absolutely not. So, you hear that there's a big connection between the health of your teeth and your overall health. I could tell you, as a matter of fact, that is absolutely true. In fact, dentists used to study nutrition over here in the United States up until 1947. But for some reason, the last 67 years, they don't study it. So,
but really? Wow. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Incredible.
They knew the benefit of nutrition for dental health.
Yeah, absolutely. And, a lot of these vitamins, they can help with your teeth health. They help, help prevent gingivitis and gum disease and stuff like that. So a lot of people don't realize, man, unfortunately, we've been told this lie that if you just eat a healthy diet, everything's gonna be fine. And that does help. There's no question about it. That would have worked in 1900, but the soils are so mineral deficient, you can't get all your vitamins and minerals and nutrients just from eating a good diet. That's a good start, but you also need to supplement. That's the other thing I learned is so many people are deficient in nutrients, and that leads to a whole host of diseases in the long run.
Yeah, 100%. So you used to work in a corporate world. What did you do, Victor?
I was in the financial world. I started out in operations, and then I was in the performance. I was a performance analyst for many years, and I'll be honest with you, it was good for a lot of years. I made a lot of good friends, had some very good bosses, but in the later years, it got very cutthroat, and the financial work can be really tough sometimes. A lot of times, you can have a good boss, but maybe the bosses above you can cause a lot of problems, and that happened a lot. And very easy to see a lot of people around you being let go, being fired for no reason whatsoever, because very often you're just a number to them. You're not a person. So I really didn't enjoy that. And it really, after the 2008 market crash, that's when things got really bad. So I worked for another 5, 6 years, and then I left, and I started working as an entrepreneur, doing other stuff. But my desire for health and wellness was always there, and in probably the last 5 or 6 years, I really worked very hard on it. I got certified as a holistic health coach, and I've just been studying more and more, trainings in our coaching system, watching tons of videos, reading a lot of books, and that's one reason why I wrote my own book, because I wanted to get information out there that can help people, because I know there are a lot of people that want to live a healthy life. But they're struggling. They're trying to do the right things, but they've been giving some wrong information. They're doing things wrong. As a result, they're having some health issues. But they truly desire to have a healthier life. They just don't know what
Yeah,
to do.
it's like they're hitting a little bit of a like a brick wall, and it's like, ooh. Or even sometimes individuals just get too much information, and when we get too much information, what do? Nothing. We just freeze. But was there anything, Victor? Was there anything in your life that triggered you looking into health and wellness? Was it someone else around you that needed some support? Was it yourself? What was the key trigger that went, you know what? There's a better way to live.
Well, number one, it started with me. Wanted to have a better life. Like I said, my teeth are much better. I have no pain there, but also watching the people around. My dad died a number, bunch of years ago, and I'm thinking to myself, if he had done things differently, he might have lived longer. So, like, my dad drank a lot of soda, and as you know, drinking soda is very bad. Lots of carbs, lots of sugar, and it makes it harder for you to absorb nutrients, so it causes a lot of issues. It can lead to diabetes, insulin resistance, weight gain, and that happened to my dad. He had some weight gain. I could just it slowed him down. And I have a feeling if he had cut down on the soda stuff like that, he might have lived longer. So I noticed the importance of diet, and I realized how important diet was for people. So what I've learned, just watching what happened, and not just my dad, my oldest brother also had died a number of years ago. Again, a bunch of health issues, and I think if things could have been done differently, maybe he could have lived a few years more. So what I've learned is, that people are dying of a lot of diseases right now that did not exist 100 years ago. Diabetes did not exist. It was rare 100 years ago. Heart disease was rare 100 years ago. Cancer was rare 100 years ago. Alzheimer's disease did not even exist 100 years ago. It's only been in the last 60 years, and we could talk more about that later. So I'm saying, what is going on? What is happening? So there's a whole bunch of factors in it. One of it has been the change in foods, what they put in the foods. And I can tell you, here in the United States, there are ingredients they put in the foods that they don't put in other countries, like in Western Europe, and I'm sure in Australia as well. There are certain things they don't allow in those countries that they're putting in the foods over here in the United States. So that's one of the reasons why the United States, the average lifespan is lower than it is in many of the other Western countries.
You know, when you say diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, and so forth weren't around hundreds of years ago, do you think it's got to do with that they weren't tested for, that they weren't diagnosed, that we weren't looking for them, that we didn't have the research studies on them? Or do you actually think it's got to do that they didn't exist?
I think it's more than it didn't exist because, cardiologists are looking for these things and that they couldn't find these diseases. They weren't exist. I think if they did find them, but it was only a handful that they did not exist because I think it was because for a whole bunch of reasons, like the way the foods are made. There's a lot more sugar, high fructose corn syrup in the foods right now. There's a lot more vegetable and seed oils, which is wreaking havoc all over the world. And I mean, oh man, those things are total poison. So there are things that are in the foods right now that were not there. Or like again, sugars there was not as common in 1900 as it is now. It's a lot more common. But vegetable and seed oils didn't exist at all in 1900. It was like almost rare. So, but now it's like over the last 60 years, it is all over the place, and I think it's one of the biggest causes of health issues for people worldwide.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. And you in your book and overall, you talk about being whole, right? What does that mean for you? What does it mean to be whole, and why is it important for overall wellness? Because everyone would have a different definition of being whole. But what does that look like for you?
Yeah, because the way I was trained was to look at the person as a whole. Just don't look at one factor. Yeah, you look at nutrition, you look at diet, but you also look at emotional, physical, spiritual. All of that combines to work. So when they certify us as a holistic hair coach, we have the word W at the beginning of holistic because we look at the whole person. Most people, they have just the H in it, so it's holistic. We look at the whole person because if you're having a lot of mental and physical issues, if you're under a lot of stress, stress is a big cause of illness. So you got to feel better. So at the end of the book, I talk about the need to have some gratitude, the need for prayer. Stuff like meditation can help improve your health. And there've been many studies showing that things like this can help you. So you gotta work on the whole person becoming whole, and they can become healthier and happier. So that's why I talk about those kind of things. So obviously, feeling good, exercising, physical activities, eating well, supplementing, all those things work together.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is supplements, maybe meditation, prayer, exercise, food, lifestyles, and things like that. That's kind of what wholeness is.
Absolutely, all those things work together, And if you're a happy person, you have a good outlook on life, you're optimistic, you're positive, you're much more likely to have a better health. If you're negative all the time, everything bothers you, you're angry, you're frustrated, all those things, it tends to lead to a negative life. It tends to lead to negative health. You're stressed out all the time. You're frustrated. It affects you negatively all over. And they've done studies on this, and you can just tell. People who feel very negative or angry or frustrated, they tend to have more health issues.
I mean, look, I think it's a bit frustrating and hard for individuals who may have a chronic illness to be perky, to be motivated, to want to do things. It's kind of like a cycle that it goes on. It's like you have this chronic illness and then you get down on yourself, and then it makes the chronic illness worse, which makes, depression or you being down on yourself worse. How do you break that cycle? Like, how do you move from this chronic illness to assisting your mindset to be happier and healthier to potentially get better?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. I'm not saying it's easy, but here's the thing: your mind can only focus on one thought at a time. So you're thinking happy, grateful thoughts. You can't focus on negative thoughts. So you got to choose. Number one, you have to make that decision. So you got to work on it. You got to do it day in and day out. Now, I'm going to give you the example of Norman Cousins. He had this really serious illness, and he was struggled for many years. And he wrote a book about called An Anatomy of an Illness. What he did was he focused on laughing a lot. He watched a lot of funny movies, a lot of comedy shows, and he eventually recovered from it. So for those of you who are wondering, can it be done? Read his book, An Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins. And you can just so laughter helps you feel good. You ever notice children, they laugh 300 to 400 times a day. Us adults, we laugh 15 to 20 times a day. You notice children tend to be happier on average than us adults because they're laughing a lot more. So laughter is a great thing to do for your health and to feel better.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I always say individuals who, have the cold and flu or something, I'm like, lay down, wrap yourself in a blanket and put on a funny movie or put on a funny show and just enjoy the moment and enjoy that laughter. So it's interesting that you mentioned that.
No, absolutely. Totally agree. Laughter, watch the movie and relax. And you're supposed to rest up when you're sick. Too often we feel the person to go back to work. Well, nowadays, a lot of time you can work from home, so if you really need to work, so that helps. And, 10 years ago, you have to go into the office, and then you would get everyone else sick. So, but generally, when you're feeling sick, you need to rest up, and then watch something funny.
Yeah, rest. The tagline of rest is for the weak still rings echo in a lot of people's heads. And it's projected in a lot of individuals in their work, in their everyday life. And it's like, well, there's no time for rest because I need to be productive. I need to produce. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a lot of people feel that pressure. And again, I was in the corporate world, so I totally understand that. You feel pressure to get things done. But here's the thing. You need to get rest. You need to get some sleep. And I talk about this. The great religions of the world, they give you a Sabbath day. So what's the purpose of Sabbath? So number one, spend time with God, but also to relax, to rest, because your body needs to rest. Because if it's never resting, if it's always working like a machine that's always on, it's going to break down eventually. So you need to rest. And you know what? The more you rest, you get enough sleep, you get rest, you're going to be more productive. Unfortunately, the corporate world, they don't like people who get sleep. They want people who only sleep 3 or 4 hours a day, work 17, 18 hours a day. They think they're going to do that. That's actually not true, because they actually tend to be less productive. They make a lot more mistakes, and they make a lot more errors. Whereas people who get those 7 to 8 hours of sleep, they're more productive. They get more things done. And you see this with residents, in hospitals. Someone who's on call for 36 hours, they're much more likely to make a mistake during an operation than someone who just started the day, in 2 hours in. So a lack of sleep, a lack of rest leads to a whole bunch of problems. So you should definitely get some rest, because your body needs that time to recover, and you'll do much better. And for those of you that are Christian, Jesus always observed the Sabbath.
Yes, 100%. And you've also mentioned there's all these events that occurred throughout the world, catastrophic events, and some of them have been linked to individuals that caused it, or groups that caused it, not sleeping or being tired or overworked. So those catastrophic events, I think it was the Chernobyl, the Ukraine, the
Chernobyl
reactor that blew up. Yeah, Chernobyl that blew up. I think that was linked to an individual or a group that didn't have sleep.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. That definitely happens a lot. You definitely have to look, a lot of accidents, a lot of these truckers driving thousands of miles and they're not getting any sleep. They get into these accidents because they're sleep deprived. And in my book, I give a couple of examples of a couple cities in the United States where teenage drivers get into a lot of accidents. So a couple of cities, they changed the starting time for school. They pushed it back like a half hour, 45 minutes. So the kids got a little more sleep. Guess what? The rate of accidents decreased significantly, like 30, 40%, because they were getting more sleep.
That is insane. That is insane. Yeah, don't even get me started on school times for kids. It should be later 100%, especially for teenagers. Because our circadian rhythm changes when we're teenagers. Yep. But anyway, we won't go. in your book, you've written a lot about avoiding chronic illness, right? How much do you think is influenced by our lifestyle factors that we choose to do versus genetics? And what control do people have over this?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, because of the way the allopathic medical system is, they want you to think everything is genetic. And the truth is, it's very, very, very small part. Now, there's certain people, they have what I would say the term I prefer is a predisposition, because your parents, your grandparents have. So you may have a predisposition to certain illnesses, but it doesn't mean you're doomed to have it. If you take care of yourself, if you eat the proper foods, if you supplement, if you live a healthy lifestyle, you watch everything you do, you exercise, you get plenty of sleep, you can generally avoid a lot of these illnesses. So you may have a predisposition, but it doesn't mean you're doomed to get it. So again, there's something called epigenetics, which is above the genes, which talks about these things, which means you can really overcome these things if you really have a good lifestyle.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say is yes, genetic plays a role for predisposition of some diseases, that lifestyle factors like epigenetics has a role in it, but you can overall have control over that. I mean, that's pretty empowering for individuals to be like, I have control over this.
Yeah, absolutely. That feels good seeing, yeah, I have controls. I can do something about my life. So, yeah, you absolutely can. So, you can definitely work on having a much healthier lifestyle. So, yeah, you're not doomed to it. So, definitely you can work on it and realize, yeah, don't give up hope. There's so many people that have overcome many, and even those who've gotten ill and have been able to overcome many illnesses when they changed a lot, they supplement, they ate better quality foods, they did the right things. So sometimes you might be at a very, you might be too far advanced, but a lot of times your body has an amazing ability to recover if you give it the things that it wants and desires.
Yeah, and I think what it wants and desires is an interesting point there. And in your book, you also talk a lot about prevention over, over cure. How can people go more into being preventative than cure? Because everyone's busy, everyone's got so many things on, and I feel like people push to get healthier when something happens, and then they're like, oh, I don't ever want to feel that pain again, or I don't even know what that is. And some people don't even know how they feel until they feel really bad. It's kind of like they don't even know what their base is until something happens.
Yeah, you're right, and there's a saying by Benjamin Franklin: "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." Now, you're right. A lot of people, if they don't feel anything, they think everything's all right, but they don't understand the compound effect, which is small things, changes can lead to big results. So, if I'm trying to have a, if I'm trying to have big muscles, I'm not going to get big muscles going to the gym 2 times. I have to go consistently over the course of many months, or I'm not going to put on 100, 100 pounds, 200 pounds, or 40, 50 kilos. I'm not going to put that on over the course of a couple of days. It has to be me eating really bad for a while. So everything, the compound effect can work for you or against you. So if everyone had a heart attack after eating a McDonald's Big Mac, they would not eat a Big Mac again. But it doesn't happen that way. Or if if you got cancer after smoking one cigarette, you would not smoke again. But it's many years of eating McDonald's foods or many years of smoking before you start seeing the adverse consequences. And then people like, well, oh man, look at what's happening. And then they think they're going to go to a doctor and get a magic bill and one night everything's going to change. It doesn't work that way. If I have to drop 200 pounds, 220 pounds, or 100 kilos, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a while because it took a while for me to put on that weight. So same thing, if you have these adverse health consequences, you can overcome it most of the time, but it's going to take some time to do it. So, unfortunately, yeah, like you said, everything we want everything to happen yesterday. We think this magic pill will take care of everything, but that's why you have to learn when you're young. If you have children, you have to teach them when they're young to eat good quality food. The younger you get them started, the better. Because here's the thing: 40, 50 years ago, children and teenagers were not getting diabetes, but now it's rampant.
So sad.
It is sad. So, I mean, it used to be called adult onset type 2 diabetes because it's really people in their 40s and 50s when they first started getting it. But now 7-year-old kids are getting it. It's really sad. You're absolutely right. So, you have to get them started young because it's a lot different than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, and it's, yes, you can start the kids, but it's also about the mum carrying that child. What are they doing? What genetic, what the day lifestyle, and it's the whole thing about is the genetics is a lifestyle. It's like, well, if you carry on that lifestyle through the life, then it's kind of like, oh, it's genetic. It's like, no, it's lifestyle. Because, your mum's done it, their grandma, their great grandma, and it's been passed on and on and on. And unfortunately then a 7-year-old kid gets diabetes and it's like, oh my gosh, how did this happen and why did this happen?
Yeah, and it's
So I
good.
couldn't have
Go ahead, go ahead.
So I couldn't agree more with you in regards to prevention against cure, but I just feel like the mindset of a lot of individuals, that's not the norm to most individuals that move into this have had a turning point of have had some type of health crisis that's pushed them to be healthier. I don't know if anyone would just go, I'm just gonna, be healthy preventative from the start if they haven't had some type of scare or some type of health scare themselves.
No, you're right. Unfortunately, some say they need a health care to make them realize the importance of the health. Some say they need to have a heart attack. And they're like, oh man, I got to stop smoking. I got to do these other things. So, you know, I got cancer or something like that. And so I got diabetes. So it's sometimes, and then they realize, oh man, even though they've probably been warned for years, either by their doctor or their friends, hey, because I have friends, I could tell you, you know, sometimes, you know, and not just coaching guys, I mean, just friends of mine, they're telling me, oh, I have pre-diabetes. Well, I said, well, you know what? You got to cut out, you got to limit the sugars, you got to limit the fruits. Fructose is really bad. You got to cut out the vegetable and seed oils. You do that. Diabetes is a reversible disease. Anyone who tells you differently is dead wrong. It could definitely be reversed. So unfortunately, that sometimes people have to learn the hard way. It's sad. But look, all you can do is give them the information. You could try to educate, but you can't force things about people. I tell people all the time, you know, I recommend things. I say, yeah, we reach out to me. Some people do, some people don't. You know, it's really up to them. You know, you can't force them. All you can do is offer to help. But hey, Jesus did the same thing. He offered, you know, redemption to people. Some people say yes, some people say no. So, you can't, you know, look, you can't save everyone's health. It's up to them. They make the decision. So the important thing is, I know I try, and I know you try to help people. That's all you can do.
100%. I couldn't agree more with you. You know, for all the research that you've done that you mentioned previously in regards to minerals, nutrition, and so forth, is there any key minerals or vitamins that you came across that fit into that whole wholeness belief that you've written in the book? Is there any key ones that you've come across that are just like, yep, these are the ones that are just absolutely necessary?
Yeah. First, I'll start by saying you need about 90 nutrients. So you need about 60 minerals, 16 different vitamins, 12 amino acids, and about, you know, 2 or 3 essential fatty acids. Altogether, you need about 90. So the minerals are the first important thing, because the vitamins will not work without the minerals. A lot of people do not understand that. So you got to have the minerals. If you do not have the minerals, your vitamins will not work. So the minerals are very important. So the most important minerals, I would say, I think the most important one is magnesium. But I think it's the master mineral. Dr. Carolyn D did a great book on it called The Magnesium Miracle. She talked about it a lot. A great book, I highly recommend. It helps with so many different things, bone health, heart health. In fact, people have heart attacks when they go to the ICU. They usually have a store of magnesium to help with heart attack patients. So they know the importance of magnesium for heart health. So it's very important for your heart. It can help prevent some certain types of cancer. It helps you sleep better, helps relax, it helps with blood pressure. So it helps with so many different things. It's involved in probably between 600 and 800 different actions. So and it also offsets calcium, which is also one of the most important minerals. Now, calcium is what's called a muscle restrictor. So if you want to make a fist, that's what calcium does. If you want to open the fist, that's what magnesium does. And unfortunately, if you have too much calcium but not enough magnesium, it can lead to calcification like in your heart and other parts, and can lead to a whole bunch of health issues. So you need to have that proper ratio, usually around 2 to 1 or 1 to 1. So you have enough magnesium to offset the calcium. Now, calcium is also one of the most important minerals, because it can lead to a whole bunch of diseases if you are deficient in it. So of course, it's important for bone health. And both of them will help with arrhythmia. Calcium would also help prevent insomnia. So yeah, calcium is important for a whole bunch of different things. Selenium, I think, is another extremely important mineral. Again, very important for heart health. They found that people who are deficient in selenium, people who have heart attacks are deficient in selenium. It helps prevent cancers. It's good for thyroid health, brain health. So it's great for a whole bunch of different diseases, multiple sclerosis, cystic fibrosis. In fact, it was discovered in 1978 that cystic fibrosis was not a genetic disease. So moms who were having babies with cystic fibrosis were deficient in selenium. And when the moms were given selenium, they start having those babies. And the same thing was they discovered in rhesus monkeys. So they thought only humans got it, but monkeys could get it too. Again, they were deficient in selenium. And it's also implicated in sudden infant death syndrome. So once they started, baby formula did not have this up until 10 years ago, which is one of the reasons why sudden infant death syndrome was much more rampant than it is today.
Yeah, wow.
It was a lot less common, because baby formulas used to have the best ones, like up 10 years ago and before, they only had maybe 12 nutrients. Animals got like 40 nutrients. So that's why babies were not getting the nutrients in their baby form. Now, they got it when they got the mother's milk, but not from the forest. So thankfully, they've added a lot more. So a lot of the baby form is now selenium and other nutrients that they did not have before like 2014. So which is why you're seeing a whole bunch of issues with baby health. So yeah, these vitamins are very, babies on a pound for pound actually need more nutrients than adults because they're growing, their brain needs it. Like B vitamins are important. Folic acid, for example, is very important. So, minerals. Iodine is very important. And again, it's important for your thyroid health, a bunch of different health, a whole bunch of other things. It helps prevent certain types of cancer. So, unfortunately, people are very deficient in it because it was taken out of, over here in the United States, it used to be part of bread dough, but it took it out in the 1980s. So, like Japan has a very low rate of cancer, but because they have iodine in a lot of their food. So it's very important for preventing a lot of diseases as well. Zinc is important, again, for your immune system. It helps with wound healing. So I think, you know, I think, and yeah, so I think those are some of the most important. Potassium, again, very important for heart health, very important for your blood pressure. So I think those are some of the most important minerals. Again, the B vitamins, it helps with brain health. It helps prevent insulin resistance, important. It helps with so many things. It helps with heart health. It helps with your mental function. It helps with fatigue. So all the different B vitamins is why you have the B complex. So, and so when people are deficient in it, you know, they'll get diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia, for example. Niacin is extremely important. People want to lower their cholesterol. Take niacin. You don't need to take statins and stuff like that. In fact, niacin is so, and you know, people. Niacin is so important that if you are deficient, if you have no end of it, it's like the one vitamin your body will make a little bit of. Your body cannot make vitamins, but it can make a little bit of niacin because it's that important. So it's extremely important for your health. So the B vitamin comes very important. I think the most important vitamin is vitamin C because it helps with heart health, it helps with blood pressure, it helps with stress relief. It's the building block of collagen. It's the most important vitamin for your bone. That's more important than calcium. A lot of people do not know that. So it helps so much with your immune system. And in fact, we're one of the few animals that do not make vitamin C. Like 98% of animals make their own vitamin C. And when they get stressed out, they create more vitamin C. Now, for some reason, you human beings, guinea pigs and primates, and I think some bats cannot make it, but every other animal can make it. So, and it could be one of the reasons why we have more heart attacks, because animals in general do not get heart attacks. And Dr. Bataya, so I wrote a book called Why Animals Don't Get Heart Attacks. And he thinks the big reason is because they make their own vitamin C. So it's they do get it, but it's not that common. And of course, among human beings, it's a lot more common. So it's extremely important for heart health. And vitamin D is something extremely important for your immune system, important for feeling better, can help prevent it could help with diabetes, and a lot of reasons. And again, a big reason people get sick during the winter is because they're not out in the sun. Your best source of vitamin D is the sun, so they don't have enough vitamin D, so they get sick. It can help with blood pressure, so it helps prevent cancer. So it helps with a lot of different things. Vitamin E helps with heart health, helps thin the blood. You wonder why they don't give that in hospitals. In fact, they'll often tell you before an operation, don't take vitamin E right before the operation, or maybe right after, because it can cause bleeding. So it helps with immune function. So vitamin E is another important vitamin. So yeah, vitamin E and vitamin C work together in a lot of different things, especially with the immune system. So and essential fatty acids, the omega-3s are very important. And unfortunately, what's happened is because of the vegetable and seed oils, it's ruined the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio. So unfortunately, people now have a much higher omega-6 fatty acids than omega-6. And then the two that are really dangerous are linoleic acid and linolenic acid. And we have too much of it. You need some, but we have too much of it. It leads to a whole bunch of health issues. And it offsets the health benefits of omega-3. So you need to have more omega-3s, unfortunately, because the vegetable seed oils, the ratio is messed up. It's like when your calcium and magnesium ratio is messed up and you have too much calcium, it can have health issues. So that's why there's a whole bunch of diseases going on, because people have way too much omega-6, the linoleic acid and the linoleic. That's what's causing the problems. There's something in omega-6 called GLA, which actually is good for your health, but it's the linoleic acid, linoleic, they both sound similar. Linoleic causes a lot of health issues. So it can cause cancer. It can lead to insulin resistance. It can lead to obesity. I actually think the main rise in obesity is caused by the vegetable and seed oil. So there, people have done research on the charts, and I think it's a bigger factor than the carbs. Carbs also factor in making people put on weight and being obese, but I believe the vegetable seals actually are an even bigger factor. So and another problem with these oils is that the half-life is very long. So the more you have, it takes many years to get rid of it from your body. There's no natural way to get rid of it. So it's not like if you don't eat it for 2 or 3 days, it'll be out of your body. It doesn't work that way. It could take years if you have high levels of these vegetable oils, which gives you the high levels of linoleic acid. So yes,
Yeah.
but the essential fatty acids are also very important. EFAs, they help with skin up. I could tell you, during the winter, I used to have dry skin when I go outside. Once I started taking omega-3s, my skin is clear. It's really great for skin health, hair health, brain health, thinning the blood. It's really important for babies as they're developing. So omega-3 essential fatty acids are very important for your health.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you've mentioned some absolutely amazing minerals and vitamins. And I love that at the start that you said that you need your minerals to access and make the most out of your vitamins. Mentioning magnesium, calcium, zinc, selenium, iodine. You mentioned vitamin E. You've mentioned the B vitamins. I think it's so important to understand how important these mineral and vitamins are in our everyday life. And it's also important to understand that we actually get them. We do get them from food, from absolutely wholesome, amazing food. And in some instances, depending on the individuals and where they're at, and where they live and where they get their food from the soil, supplements, may be able to assist them to achieve their health goals. But I think we need to just make a bit of a stronger connection with these minerals and health. Because you mentioned some of them, and you're like, you talk about helping with sleep, helping with heart health, helping with skin health, with bone health. Like, these are the things that people suffer with. And to link it to one, two, three, or four minerals and vitamins, it's just mind-blowing that that could be or is the answer to most of the things that individuals may have chronic illnesses with.
No, absolutely. And that's why I talk about AI. And obviously, it's best if you can get the minerals and the vitamins from the foods, but it's impossible to get everything you can. So I always start by saying you need to eat a good diet. You can supplement, and you've heard me, I'm a big supporter of supplementation, but if you just focus on supplementation, but you eat a really poor diet with really bad quality food, you will still have some health issues. So you need to do both. It starts with eating good quality food, and you try to eat more organic food, less ultra processed food. And unfortunately, over here in the United States, we have the SAD diet, which is the standard American diet, is a crap diet, completely refined and processed. So if you go to the supermarket here, you'll see so many foods are ultra processed, and the higher the rate of ultra processed food, the higher rates of cancer. They've done studies for it. So an increase of, I think, 10% of ultra processed, I think, leads to a 12% increased risk in cancer. So
Insane.
it is insane. And yeah, like I say, if you eat good quality food, you lower the amount of vegetables. Mono wheat, by the way, is another problem. It leads to a whole bunch of health issues. The gluten in it is much worse than the gluten that was in the traditional wheat. And it destroys your villi, so you have a hard time absorbing nutrients. So that a lot of people once and it leads to weight gain. There was a guy called Dr. William Days wrote a book in 2011 called Wheat Belly. He was overweight, and he realized, and once he got off the he realized, what am I doing? I'm doing everything right. I'm trying to eat good quality foods, I'm exercising. Once he cut out the weight dropped off, and that's what he started doing with his patients. So it leads to weight gain, it leads to insulin resistance, it can lead to diabetes, it leads to issues with mental health, brain fog, headaches. And again, when people cut out the mono wheat, guess what? Their brains were fine. So, and it leads to, there's been a huge increase in celiac disease since we switched to the mono wheat in 1960. So again, they got more output from the mono wheat, but then they realized they didn't do any tests to see could there be adverse effects from it. So So minor wheat.
When you say switch to wheat, can you explain a little bit more about that to individuals that are listening?
Yeah, traditional wheat was the way it was done for thousands of years. And again, you would see these high wheats, but they didn't really have the output wasn't that big. So they said, how can we get more output? So they started switching. They modified the wheat somewhere around the 1960s. So it was smaller, but the output was much greater. So everything looked the same, but then they realized there was a lot of adverse consequences for people's health. Increase in irritable bowel disease, again, celiac disease. People started putting on weight. And again, it messes up your belly. You can't absorb as much. So it causes a lot of health issues, and a lot of people are not aware of it. And a lot of people discover when they get off it, they start feeling better. They start, they lose the weight. You know, if they're insulin resistant, very often the insulin resistance goes away. So it's another thing of people not aware of, because we've been told eat lots of wheat. It's more fiber. It's true. It does have more fiber, but a lot of people don't notice. A piece of wheat bread will actually raise your glycemic index more than table sugar.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Most people don't know that.
That's insane. And that goes back to the link of individuals getting diabetes at a younger age. And you know what's interesting? When you look around, I'm not too sure in the States, but here in Australia, when the parents are pushing the trolley of their kids, what do most kids have in their mouth? Bread. Yep. And especially white bread or rolls, and they just chew on it. And look, I guess they believe they're doing the right thing for their child, 100%. But yeah, like you said, it raises their blood sugar like absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and they mean well. They're doing their best to help their children, because that's what they've been told. I mean, we've been given this food pyramid in the United States, and eat lots of carbs, this high-carb, low-fat diet, which has led to all kinds of diseases, all kinds of adverse health consequences.
Yes,
diabetes, rising obesity, rising cancers, rising heart disease and heart attack, because they recommended this thing. And this goes back to the 1950s. It was a guy named Dr. Ansel Keys who used some very questionable methods. He said saturated fats causes issues. He said cholesterol was a big problem, and he said fats cause problems. So then he was big on people eating more carbs, and then everything started switching from it. And a lot of his data was very suspect. And when he had studies that didn't work, he hid the data. And then it was discovered later on. So he would use a number of countries, but he only used the countries that fit in with his data, and the ones that didn't, he took it out of his samples. And he wanted people to think it was the fats, the saturated fats, and the cholesterol. But he ignored smoking because smoking would point to oxidative stress, which is a big factor in health issues. And over here in the United States, we have something called the American Heart Association, which everyone looks to for heart health. What a lot of people don't know is there's a company called Procter & Gamble, which made something called Crisco oil. Was one of the first seed oils. They gave them $1.8 million in 1948. And because of that, the American Heart Association later on started saying seed oils, vegetable oils are healthy to eat. It lowers your cholesterol, and it leads to your better heart health. And because of that advice, it's another reason why we've had more heart disease and more heart attacks. Now, again, getting back to cholesterol. Cholesterol is actually a very important nutrient. People with low cholesterol actually have more heart attacks. They tend to have more health issues than people with high cholesterol. The Inuit in Alaska have cholesterol between 300 and 500 with very little heart disease. Cholesterol you need to make estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. You need it to make vitamin D. You need it for your brain. A big chunk of your brain is cholesterol, and that's why when people are given statins, one of the things that happens is it leads to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So a lot of doctors are saying that Alzheimer's is a physician-caused disease because you're losing all that cholesterol, which is so important. Cholesterol is so important that your liver makes about 80% of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with your cholesterol. Like individuals are coming with, especially men or even women with low sex drives, low libidos, and they are on statins or they're on a low fat diet, and it's like, well, you can't have a libido sex drive without cholesterol. Or if you do, it's minimal. It's not functioning as well. And then there goes the whole theory of the fertility. And it has a flow-on effect to so many things. And like you mentioned also Alzheimer's, we need this good quality fat in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. You mentioned that, but like you said, erectile dysfunction, very often it goes away with when guys are taken off of statins. Yeah, because you said it's low libido. So yeah, and because saturated fats, it doesn't have the double bonds like the vegetable oils do. So like, yeah, the saturated fats are fine. Monounsaturated, you know, might have that one bond, so sometimes it can be an issue, but the polyunsaturated has the double bonds, it can be oxidized, so very often it leads to a whole bunch of issues. So it's those double bonds, the polyunsaturated, what's called the PUFA. Those are the things you need to watch out for. Again, there are some vegetables that are probably okay. Olive oil, if you cook it at a low temperature, is okay. Avocado is probably okay. Sesame oil is all right. Coconut oil is fine, and probably peanut oil. Everything else, stay away from canola oil. Is was repurposed motor oil. It was used only in automotive shops. So that's what canola oil does. Soybean oil, the vegetable, those, the rest of the oils, you just stay away from. In fact, but you also gotta. I'll also tell you, when you go to a supermarket, when you look at the products, read all the ingredients because they will hide some of these ingredients. They'll have different names. But like for example, there's a product. I won't give the brand name, but they call it olive oil mayonnaise. But when you look at the ingredients, it's actually more soybean oil, which is a seed oil, than there is
Yes, I
olive
know what you're
oil.
talking about. I've seen this. I've seen this. I've looked at. I was like, "Oh, olive oil mayo." I looked at it and I was like, "What?" The first ingredient is like, yeah, vegetable oil, and I was just like, "Are you serious? How can you label this?" And it really frustrates me, because you know most people don't have time to turn around and look at the ingredients list. And even if they do turn around, like you said, they might change the name of the label or the, you know, like MSG has so many different names. Vegetable oil has so many different names. And it's like, why? Why can't you just say what it's called and what it is? And it just makes you think more. It's like, what are you trying to hide? What don't we know? What do you know that we don't know? And you just go into this little rat, like, you know, you open up a can of worms and you just keep going in and out. But yeah, 100%. If you have the time and the opportunity and if you want to know, I couldn't agree more with you. Look at the ingredients list of the things that you are buying, especially things that you're having every day.
And you made a very good point right there because there's probably 70, 80, 90 different names for all the various types of sugars. They try to hide it because they don't want you to know. And what I would just say is if your product has about 49 ingredients, it's probably not healthy. The fewer the ingredients, the better. And if you have trouble pronouncing the ingredients, it's probably not good for you.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more with you. Look, Victor, in your book, you also talk a lot about emotional resilience being a crucial part for happiness and wholeness and achieving optimal health and removing yourself from getting closer to chronic illness. Why? Why is emotional intelligence so important, and how does it help us achieve health and move away from chronic illness?
Well, emotional resilience, you have to do it. Like, as we were talking before, like we talk about the laughter. People with laughter, you know, if you believe you're going to do well, they've done studies on it. People who pray more, they tend to recover more from these illnesses. People who just given up hope, they just find it just affects their immune system. It doesn't work as well. Whereas if you have belief, you have hope here, you can recover from this. You say, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this cancer. I'm going to get through this. They're much more likely. So that's a guarantee that it will. But the rates of recovery is much higher. But people who have the emotional resilience, who have that belief they can overcome this, that they will get better, that they will overcome this. I have this belief myself. I got to be there for my family. I want to see my kids get married. You know, when they have, you know, they have that why, and we do stuff like that. It just seems to work because I think it helps and make your immune system stronger, and your immune system reacts to the way your mind reacts. So that's why it's important to have that belief, that strength. And if it's constantly negative and just giving up, again, the people look, you've seen like these people who are in these horrible situations, and wartime, these camps, and you're saying the people who died are usually the ones that gave up hope. But the ones that, you know, did not give up hope, no matter where it was, the Soviet Union or whatever, the Nazi or whatever, they did not give up hope because that's the thing. If you give up hope, you're much more likely to die. And that's what I've just seen for people. People who have beliefs in themselves, and they just find a way to do the things to get themselves healthy. Yeah. So yet your mind has such an important effect on the rest of your body.
Yeah, and you mentioned the key word right there, having a why. And having something, I think the research that I've read is having something to look forward to. It's those individuals that, have had cancer and, they're told they've only got a certain time of live. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, but, tomato season's coming up. I need to plant my tomatoes, or I want to see, my son, daughter get married or give birth to a child, or I want to achieve I want to write another book, or I want to write another song, or I want to continue doing the work I do. And it's having that why that really pushes people to push through their mental headspace and get healthier.
Absolutely. Yeah, that why is so important. So people, that's why we look at things holistically. Everything is connected. So you gotta look at all those different factors, not just one thing. So again, it's the emotional part, the physical part, the diet, the supplementation, praying, exercise, all those things work together. Having a supportive community, family, friends that are being there for you, people that are gonna help support you. Support groups can help you a lot too. So all these things are they work together. And so if all those things are working well, they're working together, your odds of having good health or recovering from an illness increase a lot.
Yeah. So putting everything together, everything that we've spoken about today, individuals that are listening, either ones who have chronic illnesses at the moment or want to prevent it, what are some practical things that they can put into play right now today, to assist them to potentially avoid chronic illness or to assist them with the chronic illness that they may have now?
Well, number one, it all starts with diet. You got to eat good quality foods, get rid of the ultra processed foods. So limit the sugars, limit, especially the one that's really bad is fructose. See, like glucose, you need a little bit of glucose, but it's like maybe one teaspoon. But glucose can be metabolized by a bunch of different organs in your body. Fructose can only be metabolized by your liver. So if you have too much fructose, which is the case with a lot of people, it overwhelms your liver, and when your liver is overwhelmed, it's going to have a lot of problems. So limit the carbs, limit the wheat, which is also part of the carbs, limit the vegetable and seed oils, and eat more real foods, foods with enzymes. So eat higher quality food. Don't be afraid of fat. Fat is your friend. And you know what? Don't be afraid of eggs. Eggs have a lot of nutrients. It's been vilified for unjustly. Eggs are some of the best foods you can have. Don't be afraid of cholesterol. Cholesterol is your friend. You need it. So eat good quality foods and supplement, because you're not going to get everything you can from the food. So start with the good diet, get rid of the crap, limit it from your diet, supplement, exercise, get plenty of rest, get plenty of sleep. Sleep is very important. There's a lot of health benefits to it, and it helps children grow, it helps them develop, it helps them do better in school, it helps prevent certain illnesses, including certain cancers, and you perform better at work, if you're working. So get plenty of sleep, get plenty of rest. Again, work on your mind, work on feeling better. Get some laughter, watch some funny things, watch some funny shows, laughter a lot. Think about when you were 7, 8 years old, you were laughing all the time. So don't be afraid to laugh and get a supportive community. So work on those things, work on feeling good about yourself. Gratitude's important, meditation helps, prayer is important. If you do those kind of things, you combine them all, it's going to help you avoid these chronic illnesses. And if you deal with this, it's going to help you deal with it and help fight. It's going to fight a lot better. That's what I've discovered. You need to do those things, and and I would just say, don't be afraid to stand up to your doctor, because I think a lot of doctors mean well, but they what they've been taught in medical school is a lot about that. They learn very little nutrition, so most doctors know very little about nutrition, so they don't see the importance of nutrition. So very often they're giving you a lot of, when there's an illness, they'll tell you to take these meds. A lot of times they have really bad side effects. So I always say in most cases you don't need those medications. And another problem with these medications, not only do they have side effects, but they drain you of these nutrients, these minerals, like
100%.
magnesium. So a statins drain you of CoQ10 and magnesium. So that's the other thing. So they drain you of necessary nutrients. So that's the other thing. And here's the thing, the more medications you are, the worse you're gonna be. I've never met a person who said I take 10 medications a day and I feel great.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I love all the things that you've mentioned. You've mentioned start with the diet, if need to be supplement, exercise. I love that you mentioned rest. And the other key thing that you mentioned that we could go on talk about is community, having that community, having that why, having laughter. And you know, if you are on any medications, reviewing them, reviewing those medications and being like, what am I on these for? What is this depleting me of? How can I potentially work with someone to get off these or have an alternative and achieve that wholeness that you're always talking about? Achieving the wholeness of the being whole as a person and avoiding the chronic illness that we don't have to have. Genetically, we may be predisposed to it, but we don't have to go that. And going back to the whole thing of, you know, we have that control of, you know, controlling what goes into our mouth and controlling what goes into our brain. And it's all a flow and effect of so many things. And a lot of people might be like, you know, seems like a lot of work, but you know, it's actually worth it. It becomes a habit. And you've also mentioned that flow and effect of doing a little bit every day. You can use that as a positive and making it work.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a saying, if you don't pay the farmer now, you'll pay the doctor later. So it's worth it for your health.
I love that. I love that saying, if you don't pay the farmer now, you pay the doctor later. No, absolutely love that. Look, Victor, I've had such an amazing time having you on Natural Podcast. On the Natural Podcast, I ask all my guests, what is your best kept natural health hack that you may do every day, once a week, once a month? Is there something that you do that really gets you to be healthy?
I think this is what I just said before. I eat good quality foods, I supplement, and I get plenty of rest, and I work on my mind so I'm feeling better. So
Nice.
gratitude, prayer, meditation is very important. So you do those things, and again, you got to get the 90 nutrients is very important. You do not want to be deficient. If you take care of that, you get enough of it, you will be healthy. Oh, I just want to mention one last thing. I forgot to mention about
Yes.
exercise. Very important. As important as exercise is, when you have a good workout, you're not just getting rid of the sweat, you are getting rid of nutrients. So also make sure you supplement after a good workout because you want to get those nutrients back in. Because if you lose those nutrients, that can also have health consequences. So make sure you supplement after working out.
100%. I love that. You know, you've mentioned a lot about laughter and is there any TV shows or any movies that make you laugh or that you're just like, yep, this is what I put on to get a bit of laughter in my life?
You know, in the United States, I watched a show called The Honeymooners. You can watch that on YouTube for those of you in other countries. It's hilarious. It's effective. I watched The Three Stooges. They're very funny. They're from there for a long time ago. I watched cartoons like Bugs Bunny, Tom and
I
Jerry. Those are
love
hilarious.
that.
Woody Wood. Those are hilarious. Those things always make me laugh. I never never get tired. And I love watching the old Laurel and Hardy movies. Those guys are really funny. I think those classics gave me the most laugh. It's clean humor, but it's very funny.
I love that. I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on that Tribe podcast, Victor. Really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me out. It has been a real pleasure, talking health with you.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us on Natural Podcast. And remember, you're pure love, capable of living life to its fullest expression.
Is not intended to provide medical advice or take the place of medical advice or any current treatment you're undertaking. Consult your own medical professionals for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the Natural Health Podcast. It is advised that you consult your doctor or healthcare professional in relation to any health concerns you may be having. Mahela Ragus does not take responsibility for any health consequences which occur from a person listening, viewing, or reading this content. Under no circumstances shall the Natural Health Podcast, Mahela Ragus, any guests or contributors to the Natural Health Podcast, or any employees, associates, or affiliates of Mahela Ragus be responsible for damages arising from the information provided on that child podcast. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical conditions in either yourself or others. Please note, if you're taking prescription, do not stop your medication or start a new protocol, including but not limited to supplements, diet, lifestyle changes without consulting a doctor or healthcare professional. If you or any person has a medical concern, you should consult with your healthcare provider or seek other professional medical advice. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have read or heard on the Natural Podcast or in any linked materials. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or emergency services immediately. Neither Mahela Ragus nor the publisher of this context takes responsibility for the possible health consequences of any person or persons reading or listening or following the information in the educational content.